So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and just 3 verses, reading from verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. These remaining verses that we have in this chapter really provide an excellent summary of the gospel, and they draw our attention to a number of really momentous phrases and insights and revelations that the Holy Spirit bestowed to Paul, and Paul has committed in his epistle to the Corinthians and thereby to the church of all generations. Really lovely phrases and verses. And for that reason, I don't want to rush through them and take them too quickly. And we have time. There's no rush upon us. So I thought I would just take, rather than finishing the chapter tonight, just take these first three verses and leave the last two for next week. And as I say, they're a lovely summary of the gospel, and they give us opportunity to return again to the renewing effect of grace and the source and the origin of that renewal. So the renewing effect of God's grace in an individual's life, the change that it makes, the effect that it has, and the source of that change, the renewal that Paul is talking about here. And we're going to just touch upon some thoughts in this today. Paul, you may remember, was talking about the ministry that had been given to him, and he talks in these verses of the ministry of reconciliation. And you know, it's possible, I suppose, that we become intimidated by language. We don't maybe use some of our scripture words as frequently today as we once did. But these are beautiful phrases. The ministry of reconciliation. He's talking here about his service and the message that his service, his apostolic role and responsibilities have for him. And he's showing us here, I think, that there are, in these verses, that there are three aspects to this ministry of reconciliation that he has been given. And the first one is that what we have received by God's grace is being reconciled to God. Now, if you're reconciled to someone, that breach that previously had been there, that cause for offence that had previously been there, that antagonism that perhaps existed between two parties has been removed. And that's what we mean by being reconciled, being brought into a state of friendship once again. And Paul's saying here is that by God's grace, by God's goodness, by God's favour and kindness, we have been reconciled to him. We're reconciled in Christ, and thereby we're made new creatures. He goes on to say, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's the first of these three things that the apostle is highlighting here. The second one is that it's God who has done this, because this is what he purposed, this is what he accomplished, and he has done it out of love for his chosen people. And the apostle makes that clear as well. And then he goes on to say, thirdly, that this message, this ministry of reconciliation, is a message that we have to share with the world, to share it with all who will listen to us. And Paul begins by saying here, so that we're going to just touch on these three points in the time that I've got available here today. Paul goes on to say, he begins by saying, if any man be in Christ. Now, that little phrase, being in Christ or in Christ, there's layers and depths in the scriptures to that phrase, being in Christ. And first of all, there's a secret being in Christ. There's a being in Christ that we don't know anything about in the early stages, if you like, a pre-knowledge or a being in Christ which is a secret. And it's secret because it's everlasting. And scripture speaks about this in many ways. For example, the Word of God tells us that the Lord's people, the elect, those who have faith, those who trust in Him, have been loved with an everlasting love. Or, to use another way of phrasing that, we are foreknown by God. God has loved us from eternity. He's always loved us. Before time, He loved us. Before we were born, He loved us. Before we knew anything about loving Him, He first loved us. Now, that is a reference to our secret being in Christ, because God loved us in Christ. And here's another way in which that can be thought about. We're sanctified, or we're set apart in Christ, so that as far as this church is concerned, those who are secretly in Christ, they are in Christ, set apart within the covenant of God's grace and peace. He has placed them in a certain place and in a certain position. Another way of thinking about it is that we are chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. These are all Bible verses, Bible phrases. And before the world was formed, before the world was founded, before the world was created, God had chosen a people in Jesus Christ, and they were secretly in Christ, unknown to themselves. We're elect, says Paul to the Romans, chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, and we're predestinated. People don't like that word about predestination, but we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ, to be made like Christ. And these all speak about God's purpose to reconcile certain loved, chosen, sanctified, blessed people to Himself. And that He did by the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So Paul says again to the Romans, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now, just pause on that for a moment and think about it. While we were enemies, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That reconciliation traces back to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even although we weren't born, even although we hadn't any knowledge about the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the death of Christ, we were reconciled to God. And in this way, we can see salvation to be wholly and entirely a work of God. However, that secret being in Christ from everlasting doesn't remain a secret. It's an open secret, if you like, because it doesn't stay hidden. Because God purposed throughout the ages of this world and the ages of the church to bring those for whom Christ died, to a knowledge of the truth and to a personal saving faith in the redeeming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that being brought to faith, brought to Christ in faith is a work of the Holy Spirit in time. So we can see the three persons of the Godhead working together here. God is a chosen people that he placed or sanctified, set apart in Christ before the world began. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and gave his life for their reconciliation, notwithstanding the fall in the Garden of Eden and our disobedience in Adam. And then in time, the Holy Spirit applies the benefits of that reconciliation and the atoning work of Christ to the hearts and lives of individuals when they experience the knowledge of the gospel and faith in their hearts. They hear and believe the gospel. And Scripture calls that work a work of regeneration. Or another phrase Paul uses in Ephesians is to call it quickening. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in sin. Or Jesus to Nicodemus talks about being born again. And the result of the new birth is this new creature that Paul is speaking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So the new creature then we can see is a work of God, the Holy Spirit, ministering this gospel of reconciliation to the understanding of those who are dead in sin. And what this work does is it creates within us a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit, new life with new desires. We've got new eyes with which to see the Lord Jesus Christ, new ears with which to hear the blessings of God's goodness and faithfulness to his people, new feet with which to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, where we never desired to follow him before. New hands by which we are able to serve him. We've got new delights, things that never delighted us in the past, delight us now, and we joy in things that previously we would have thought were offensive and boring and nothing that we wanted to be engaged in. So that there's a newness comes in by the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul elsewhere calls this, he saved us by, referring to the Holy Spirit, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So this new creation, it is a new creation, which means that it's not the death of the old nature, but it is a new nature that has been implanted side by side with this old nature. Now, some people find this hard to understand, but Christians have two natures. We have an old man of the flesh, and we have a new man, a spiritual man. The old man's not transformed into a new man. The old man remains unchanged, and he will remain unchanged until the day of our death. Indeed, it is that after the initial shock that the old man gets of discovering that a new man is now living inside his house, that old man tries his best to evict the new man from the house. And the ensuing fight and battle can cause a believer much distress and much soul trouble. And I think many of us will know what that experience is like. So that when Paul says the old things have passed away, it's not the old man that's passed away, but it's a hankering after the old practices that he's speaking about. The things, and that's what's upsetting to the old man. The old man wants the old ways. The new man desires to follow Christ. The old man uses our weak flesh to make the task of following the Saviour as hard as he possibly can. And then another thing that this tells us about this creative work is that not only is it a new creation, but it is a work that has been performed by God in the soul of a sinner. Paul says, all things are of God. That is, all these new things, the new nature, the new heart, the new spirit, the new life, the new desires, they're all from God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So that God the Father has reconciled us by instituting this great plan of salvation, loving, choosing, sanctifying his people. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shedding of his blood, by coming into the world, by the incarnation, by the going to the cross, by dying in our place, shedding his blood, he has paid our sin debts and he's borne the curse of the law that was against us. And this is a great principle of sovereign grace. This is what distinguishes us from so much else that goes in the name of Christianity in our world today. The salvation of sinners is God's work and not in any way our own by the things that we do or say or think. Even our faith is the faith of Christ. It's God's gift to us. God the Father purposed our salvation, God the Son accomplished our salvation, and God the Holy Spirit applies our salvation through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel that we preach. Remember what we said. It was what Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. The message of all that God has accomplished for the salvation of sinners and the reconciliation between himself and those who had fallen in Adam and yet those that he loved and had chosen and sanctified and redeemed and regenerated, called through the gospel and brought to faith. And so in verse 19, the apostle says, to wit. Now there's a word that we don't use very often, although it's the word that we get witness from. And we all know what a witness is. If a witness goes to court, or if a witness explains what they've seen, or Mary and Malwyn were signing some documents recently and they had to get a witness to say that they attested that the signatures were genuine. Well, that to wit is to experience and testify by personal first-hand familiarity. That's what the apostle is saying there. To wit, to know by personal experience that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, because he is imputing them to Christ, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, the message of the gospel. The world that we talk about here is not the whole world of every individual without exception, because that just simply is not the case. The rest of Scripture testifies to that. If the whole world were reconciled, there would be no need for a place called hell. And no one who was not saved, if everybody was going to be reconciled, because that's part of the whole work of salvation. Rather, the world is Christ's church and people. It's the kingdom of God on earth. It's the whole number of the elect of God, those redeemed by Christ on the cross. And it's often used in the New Testament to highlight the inclusion of the Gentiles as well as the Jews in God's saving purposes. So God committed to Paul and the apostles and to the church this ministry of reconciliation. It's the privilege of teaching and preaching and testifying or witnessing the glorious gospel of God's grace. And I can't save myself, and I can't save you, but I can tell you about the triune God. I can tell you what he has done. I can tell you about Christ's work. I can tell you about the work of God, the Holy Spirit, the Father's choice of a people to save. And I can tell you all about the great plan of salvation, that Christ has come to take away our sin and committed to us the privilege of declaring that message to those around about us. And that's the ministry of reconciliation that the apostle is speaking about. May the Lord bless these thoughts to us and teach us from these verses all that he has done for us. Amen.